Continuing now with the series on various mitzvahs of Bnei Adam L'Chaveiro, last week we discussed in introduction the categories and the differences between mitzvahs of Bnei Adam L'Chaveiro and Bnei Adam L'Makom. So now I want to discuss the next few weeks, particular mitzvahs. Any suggestions, please let me know. But Figulif Niver was a natural next one in line, because this week's Parashat Kedoshim actually quotes the pasuk of Lif Niver. We discussed a little bit about it last week. Lif Niver is a huge topic. There's so many relevant applications of it, and there's so much to discuss. So I haven't decided yet if we should do a part two next week. We'll see how this one goes, but this is just really a tip of the iceberg. So let's first begin with the pasuk that's found in this coming week's Parsha Kedoshim. It says, it's the double Parsha this week, I think, right? Achrim Mos Kedoshim, yes. So the pasuk says, Lo Sekalo Cheresh, not to curse the Cheresh, the one who's deaf, and Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol, and not to place a stumbling block in front of the blind, V'yareisa Me'elokecha Ani Hashem, and you should fear Hashem, I'm Hashem. So the first question that's discussed in the Achronim and the Rishonim is, do we take this pasuk literally? The concept of a pshuta shel mikra. It's a lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. So we'll get to the other applications. The simple understanding of lifnei iver is not to present someone with the opportunity to do an issa he couldn't otherwise do. For example, the nazir, we'll see in just a moment. A nazir, of course, cannot drink wine. So you giving him a bottle of wine, that's lifnei iver. You're giving him an issa he might stumble over. That's how it's understood in the Gemara. The big question is, what about the pasuk itself? Can you take a rock and place it in front of a blind person walking and cause him to stumble? Is that going to be a violation as well? So if you look at the Minchas Chinuch number 2, this is on the Mitzvah Reish Lamed Beis. The Minchas Chinuch writes in the bold, V'hinei midivei Rav HaMechaber, that's of course the Sefer HaChinuch, V'chein midivei Rambam, Nira de pasuk hazeh de lifnei iver, this very pasuk that we are discussing, Yotze legamrei mipshuto. We do not take the pasuk literally at all. It's yotze. It leaves the literal translation. Dim nasan michshel mamish evin lifnei iver. If you mamish take a rock, put it in front of the blind, eino over. You do not get navera. You do not violate the issur lifnei iver. The pasuk means this. How does the Minchas Chinuch know that the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch understand that there is no lifnei iver when you place a rock in front of the blind? So the Minchas Chinuch says, Mimasha kasuv she'ein bo maisa. Me'ein bo maisa. The Sefer Chinuch writes that one does not get malchus. You do not get lashes for violating lifnei iver. Why? Because it's a lav she'ein bo maisa. Why lav she'ein bo maisa? You give a person bad advice. You present someone with an isser to do. He says, the Chinuch, that's not a maisa. So what do you mean? If I place a rock in front of, putting a rock in front of the blind, isn't that a maisa? So from the fact that the Chinuch writes that there's no malchus because a lav she ain't bo maisa, it must be the Chinuch thinks that placing a rock in front of the blind is not a violation, because that would have been a maisa. So therefore he says the Chinuch, Minchas Chinuch, based on the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch, that there is no violation of placing a rock, taking the pasuk literally. We do not read this pasuk mamish the way it's understood. But then the Minchas Chinuch himself says at the end of number 2, Ulididi tsarich ian. I don't understand this. Da mikra notzi legami mipshuto, to say the pasuk doesn't mean what it means. Vim kein, he thinks, im hichshel iver bederech. If you trip a blind person, you place a rock in front of a blind person, says the Minchas Chinuch, kigon shenasan michshel lefanav. Efshir, says the Minchas Chinuch, gam kein over alav. He argues on these rishonim as bederech efshir. He thinks it's very possible that one does violate a lav. The kai ba'arur, your bechlal, the curse of the pasuk of lo sekal cheresh, he thinks goes on the iver as well. In kain lokin, one gets lashes for doing this to a blind person, upasul le'edus. And one is disqualified. A person who's pasul le'edus has to be doing a maisa, a levera, that's chayv, yeshba maisa, that's malkos involved in that. But the Minchas Chinuch thinks we do read the pasuk literally, that lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, one does get a avera against the other Rishonim. Now the truth is, this debate within Minchas Chinuch seems to be a machlokas actually in the Rishonim. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, he has 24, look at number 3, al esim varba dvarim minadin es ha'adam bein ish bein isha ve'eluhein. There are 24 examples that we give nidui. Nidui means you place a person in excommunication, we separate him from everywhere else. Nidui is a lashon of a curse. We curse 24 types of people because there are no other punishments mentioned. So just for example, some of the things the Rambam lists is a person who's mevazeh a Talmud Chacham, even after he dies, he gets nidui. A person who's mevazeh shliach bezdin. Bezdin sends a shliach to your house to summon you to the court, and you mevazim. One gets nidui. A person calls a chavero an eved. So there's 24 examples. One of the examples, says the Rambam, that one receives nidui, gets a curse for, is a number Os Yud Zayin. It's in bold on the bottom left of this piece. Hamachshil es ha'iver, which means you trip, you cause a blind person to stumble. So everything on the list here are only things that there are no other punishments for. I mean, we don't list here Mechal Shabbos, because Chil Shabbos already has a Chiv Skila and one gives a carbon. Everything listed are only things that have no punishments. So Chachamim said, let's strengthen them and add our own punishment of Nidui. So the fact that the Rambam places a Machshil Sa'iver on this list tells us that what? That's not really Bichlal the Isser in the Torah. It's a secondary thing. It's not, the Pasuk is Yotzei Mipshuto, and the Chachamim felt it's a not nice thing to do anyway, so you get Nidui for this. So look what the Ravid's comment is here. The Ravid writes in number 4, he goes against the Rambam, like he always does. Amar Avram, Kigon Hamake Es Beno Hagadol. The Gemara Makos says if a person hits a adult child, his adult son, his adult daughter, he violates Lifnei Iver. Why? Because an adult son, a 16-year-old son, is going to hit his father back. So even though halachically a father is allowed to hit a child of any age, which we're not saying one should ever, ever do at all, but just mitzad halacha at least, not mitzad hashkafa, mitzad halacha, even though he's allowed to hit an adult son, he, in terms of of discipline, but it's violating Lifnei Iver because he's going to react. He's not going to just sit there and get a patch from his father. He's going to curse him, hit him, or whatever else, Rechman HaLetzel, might happen. So the Ravid says that the example the Rambam is referring to is hitting a child. What was wrong with the Rambam's example? Rambam said, Hamach Shesa Iver. He says, you trip a blind person. How come the Ravid's saying it's no? The Rambam's referring to hitting an adult child. So the Bach says, because the Ravid thought, if a person's machshil es ha'iver, look at the Bach writes, number 5. V'taimo de'enero telomer kipshuto. The Ravid thought you can't read the Pasuk literally, ha'machshil es ha'iver. That's not part of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, lifnei iver lo sisei michshol, but that's not really what the Pasuk means to the Ravid. So therefore the Ravid says he's referring to hitting a child or something else like that, that's lifnei iver, where you're causing a person to do an aveira. You're giving a person bad advice. But to take it literally, says the Ravid, you can't take it literally. So the Rambam and Ravid argue, do you take the Pasuk literally, lifnei iver lo sisei michshol? The Rambam says you do take it literally. Hamach shasa iver is a violation. There's no punishment for it, so you get nidoy, but it is an issa deraisa, hamach shasa iver. But the Ravid says, no, stumbling, tripping up a blind person isn't part of the Pasuk. He's really referring to examples of hitting a child or giving some wine to a nazir. So that's the first stage of whether or not we take this pasuk literally of tripping up an iver.
Why wouldn't you say Malkus to the Rambam? If you learn the pasuk literally,
for that. So we'll get to in a second. The other explanations why not. We'll get there in a few pieces from now. Why there's no Malkus. There are other reasons other than Lav Shem B'Maisa. There's another reason.
Rabbi, if you said there's a halacha that a father is actually able to hit his adult child, but then there's this other halacha of Lifnei Iver, can you have both those halachas? Could that first halacha be true if the second halacha is against the first?
Yeah, you have all the time different halachas that are competing with each other. The question, which one overrides which? Uh-huh. I mean, there's no obligation for a parent to hit an adult child. He's allowed to.
But then if there's a Lifnei Iver, he's not allowed.
Exactly. Same thing with hitting a younger child is allowed also. The Gemara talks about this. It's a mitzvah to discipline a child, but Bizman Hazeh, everyone will tell you that it's not allowed to Bizman Hazeh. Okay, look at number 6 now. Number 6 in Meshech Chachma says that Hakusim Mefarshim Kimashmo. The Kusim always read the Pesukim literally. Like they place tefillin between the eyes because it says Bnei Necha, so they place the tefillin Sharosh Bnei Necha. They always read every Pasuk literally. They don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. So says the Meshech Chachma, they understood this Pasuk to mean Shelo Yitein Evin Lifnei Iver B'derech Lapila. You shouldn't place a rock in front so he shouldn't trip. That's how they understood it. And this example says the Meshech Chachma, says Ramer Simcha Midvinsk, V'kachu Emes, they actually correct on this one. That is Bichlal, the Isser of placing a rock in front of the Iver. Umizeh, look at this fascinating extension. Umizeh Azhara L'Poseach, to open up, Okora, or to dig a bore, B'Rishus HaRabim. you dig a bore in the Rishis Rabbim, or you open up a manhole and someone trips in, that's also stumbling someone, maybe not a blind person, but anyone is blind from that manhole now. So that would be Bechlal, the Isser of Lifnei Iver, causing someone to get damage. And that's the Meshech Chacham is an Achron. The Yad Ramah, who's one of the Rishonim, says the same thing as well. Before I read the Yad Ramah, those who learn Maseches B'Makaba, the first Hakdamah Shir, most Magid Shir will give is, what is this source? Is there an Isser of Mazak? Causing damage. Are you allowed to go ahead and break your friend's window? Or even a guy who you don't know, can you break his window? We do know you have to pay for the damage. Are you allowed to break the window in order to, is there a violation? Is there an Isser involved? The Torah never says anywhere, Aser Lahazak. No such Pasuk.
So,
that doesn't say you can't damage, though. So it's possible to say that I could hit break a guy's window and I'll pay for it. The pasuk says I have to pay back any damage, but there's no iser per se of making no explicit pasuk. So some say v'haftovecha kamocha is one source. The Yadrama will see quotes that as a source. So the first she everyone talks about is the 12 different sources, potential sources, how we know it's usher to cause damage. Any other suggestions of other sources? Anyone remember?
Damage?
Yeah, the iser to cause damage. So the Rabbeinu Yonis of Dhamma, Baltashkis is one of the very excellent, very. I think the Stipler says Baltashkis, I believe. Rabbeinu Yonis says in his Akdama to Pirkei Avos, we're learning Pirkei Avos now during Sfiras HaOmer. So he's a very fascinating Hakdama. His first two pieces in particular are very, very good. And in his second piece in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, he writes that Lo Sigzal is kolel all nizikin as well. Not to steal. Stealing is a type of damage. I stole your car. That's damaging to you because you can't use it anymore. So bichlal lo sigzal is every time you're mazik someone else. You break his car window. That's not lo sigzal per se, but it's a offshoot of. So all nizikin is bichlal lo sigzal. So says the Yad Ramah, number 7, the aser limigram to cause, it's forbidden to cause midi the asimine hazekala inshi. You can't cause damage. There's an iser to cause damage. Why? Imishum lifnei iver lo site michshol, which is what the Meshech Chachma said, opening up a pit in the Rishis Rabbim that's causing someone to stumble. He thinks that includes all nezikin is bichlal lifnei iver, or like Ezra suggested, or perhaps mishum ve'afta l'reacha kamocha. I don't want my car window broken, so I shouldn't break your car window. But either way, we see from this point right now is that there is a machlokas whether we take the pasuk literally of placing a stumbling block in front of the iver, and then by extension, all other types of damages are included in this pasuk of lifnei iver lo sitein michsham.
So lifnei iver is one of the reasons, could be one of the reasons why.
Exactly, exactly. One of the, I think, 12 different explanations, and that's a mefurish Yad Ramah. So what other Yisum are included in this Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol? So Rashi on this week's Parsha tells us, number 8, he says, in the Pasuk, Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol, Lifnei HaSuma Bedavar. Not Suma, a person who's physically blind, but a person who's blind about a certain area of halacha, or could even be in business. He's blind, he doesn't know how to do investments. So a guy goes over to him and says, you should invest in this particular stock, and it's an awful piece of advice. So lifnei asuma bedavar, a person who's blind in a particular area, lo sitein etza she'ena hogenes lo. Don't give him improper advice that's not shaykh for him. It's not a good investment for him or for anyone. That's the example Rashi gives of giving bad advice. Now, Rashi seems to go against, or at least give a different example than what the Gemara tells us. The sugyas of Lifnei Iver is found in Maseches Avodah Zarah. It's sprinkled throughout different places as well, but the Iker sugya, those who want to learn the sugya well, is found in Avodah Zarah, Daf Vav Amud Beis. Anyone know why it comes up in Avodah Zarah? Those who did Daf Yomi, it came up pretty recently. The Gemara is talking about that you cannot do business with the Ovdei Kochavim, the non-Jews who worship idols around their Yom Tovim. Why? Because now they're going to have money, they're going to have animals to worship their Avodah Zarah. It's Lifnei Iver, giving them a chance to do a karbon to their Avodah Zarah. That's the background. So the Gemara now, number 9, invokes the Braisa.
Should even say hi, give them a nice greeting on their way to the church.
Right, those are part of the things, exactly. So the Gemara says, number 9, nine shelo yoshit adam kos shayayin lenazir. How do you know you can't extend your hand to offer some wine to a nazir? Again, a nazir cannot drink wine, of course. How do we know? The pasuk says, lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. So there are two different isurim here, or at least two different examples. Rashi says that not to give bad advice, and the Gemara says not to give an opportunity for an aveira. So what we've been talking last week was mitzvahs ben adam lechavero and mitzvahs ben adam lemakom. We could break up these two categories. Giving bad advice is ben adam lechavero, and giving the opportunity to do an isser, a nazir, drink wine is ben adam lemakom. So those are two categories within lifnei iver, that the two examples and two categories. Right. Very, very true. So it's a very good point, because giving bad advice is certainly lav shein b'maisa, and handing a nazir is sheyesh b'maisa. So that's a kasha on the Sefer Chinuch. The Chinuch who writes that there are no malkos because ain b'maisa, well, there's a maisa when I extend my hand to the nazir. So that's a whole other discussion how he gets around this, because the Sefer Chinuch holds that if you could find one example, if there's a particular avera of lav shein b'maisa, but there's one example you can accomplish a maisa, the Chinuch holds that is a Maisa. It's a Yesh B'Maisa, and there would be Malkos. I mean, other Rishonim hold in general, the general discussion, just because you brought it up, comes to Lav Shein B'Maisa. We look at the Iker way you're violating the Avera. If the Iker way is Lav Shein B'Maisa, even though you can find some crazy case where there's going to be a Maisa, it's still called the Lav Shein B'Maisa. The Chinuch has a unique position. He says, no, I don't look at the Iker. If I could find one crazy case that there can be a Maisa, that's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. The Chinuch for some reason ignores this hoshit yado nazir. I don't know the answer to it though. But either way, we see that there are two categories of lifnei iver: ben adam lechavera, which is bad advice; ben adam lemakom, which is violating an iser. The question is: are these really lumped together as one unit, or are these considered two different paths, two different tracks within the iser of lifnei iver? So let's go discuss again. The Chinuch writes: why are there no malkos? And we're going to see this idea come out. The Chinuch writes, there's no malchus on lifnei iver because it's a lav she'ein b'maisa. But the Kesef Mishnah, this is to Eitan's point, the Kesef Mishnah says that it's a different reason why there's a lav, why there are no malchus on lifnei iver. Because we just said before, like Andy pointed out, isn't there a maisa? You give a yayin to another, that's a maisa, isn't that a maisa? So the Kesef Mishnah is mechadesh in Hilchas Kalayim, that number 11, mishum de'avar, alav the lifnei iver lo sitei michshol ein lokin alav. Why mishum dave lav shebechlos? What's a lav shebechlos? What's the classic example of lav shebechlos?
What's the translation of lav?
Lav shebechlos is lav, a lav that has many different applications, many different understandings of this particular lav.
So, get an usher.
No, I don't think an usher is one of them. What's the prototype of a lav shebechlos? Gemara Sanhedrin? Nothing. What? Lo sochlu al adam. Lo sochlu al adam. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has like seven, maybe five different examples. One of the examples the Gemara says is that the day Bezdin gives a misa, they're not allowed to eat at that point. They can't eat. Lo sochlu al adam while they're killing someone. And the Gemara gives a few other examples there as well. The Rambam famously writes, what's the Rambam's understanding of lo sochlu al adam? Can't eat before davening. Can't eat before davening. He gives that as an example. Some think the Rambam thinks it's a deraisa. To eat before davening, lo sochlu al adam. You can't eat before you've davened for your dam, for your blood. You need to first daven to Hashem, and only then are you allowed to eat. So that's the classic example of a lav shebecholos, where there's one pasuk that has multiple interpretations, where we accept all the interpretations. Not like there's a machlokas. No, they're all included. They're all bechlal, that lav. So says the Kesef Mishnah, lifnei iver is a type of lav shebecholos. It's a lav, but there are many different understandings of what is lifnei iver, and we embrace all those different understandings. It's a lav shebechlolos, and a lav shebechlolos, the Gemara tells us, you don't get malchus for lav shebechlolos. We accept all the understandings, but you don't get malchus. So a person, let's say, eats before davening, you don't get malchus. Let's say the Bezdin eats the day that they're killing someone, they don't get malchus. So too, says the Kesef Mishnah, the person who violates lifnei iver, one does not get malchus. So why is it lav shebechlolos? What makes it a lav shebechlolos? So we said, there are different examples. You can't put a stone in front of a blind person. You can't give bad advice. You can't give a wine to a nazir or anyone else to violate any yisurim. So that's what the Meshech Chachma says. There's three basic categories. There's not to put a stone in front of an iver. Then there's the isur of giving bad advice. And then there's the isur of giving an isur to a nazir. There's three categories. So now this is quite a nuance, though, but it's important just for learning lifnei iver. Look at the language of the Ritva. This is number 13. It's really on page number 3.
Is this still for the purpose of trying to decide if Hashem and man?
Yeah, we're going to get there. We're getting there, yeah. So look what the Ritva says in the Pitaba, page number 3. He says, typically, mishim lifnei iver lo tite michshol yeshlomar di mishim hahu kaven she'ena meyucha le'iser zeh. Since this lifnei iver is not unique to whatever example the Gemara is referring to lav kol, and listen to this language, bechol mitzvot haTorah eino loka. So the Achronim are medayik bechol mitzvos haTorah. The chakira that exists in lifnei iver is when we violate, or one violates lifnei iver, are you violating a general iser of lifnei iver? Or does lifnei iver take on the nature of whatever the application is? So for example, let's say Reuven's a nazir, and I give Reuven some wine. Did I violate lifnei iver? Or did I violate in some strange way the iser of naziris, of drinking wine? I'm not a nazir. So there's a lav of lifnei iver take on the iser, the context, or is it just a general lifnei iver iser of klal? So what the Achronim understand within the Ritva, from the fact the Ritva says that the lav kol b'chol mitzvah haTorah, they think he means that lifnei iver takes on the context. So let's say a person, there's a Baal Mor that talks about a person does lifnei iver with arayos. He puts someone in a terrible situation of arayos. It's as if the person violated arayos. So would there be yarg v'yavor? A goy comes to your head and says, I want you to force Reuven to violate arayos. So there's two people, let's just say it again. The goy tells Reuven to force Shimon. So Reuven's just doing lifnei iver to Shimon. So does Reuven have to give up his life? Is Reuven violating yarg v'yavor? I mean, rather, is he violating arayos? Because he's not doing arayos. He's just causing Shimon to do arayos. He's doing lifnei iver. So if we view lifnei iver as taking on the context, so then Reuven's violating arayos, and you have to give up his life. But if you understand that, no, there's a general iser lifnei iver. Whatever the application is, it's always lifnei iver, lifnei iver, lifnei iver. In which case, Reuven would be allowed to trick Shimon. Shimon has to give up his life. Reuven doesn't have to give up their life. So the medayik from this Ritva, the fact that he says bechol mitzvah haTorah, that every mitzvah applies to lifnei iver, that it takes on the context of the actual iser. Yes. Very good.
Like you giving the actual kais, you're not necessarily over.
Beautiful. So that's a machlokas they have in the Rishonim. I'm not discussing it today, maybe next week, but that's a machlokas as well. They say, is it only when he actually violates the iser, or is it presenting him even though he denies it?
Could be calling this.
Yeah, how so?
I'm saying if you hold that,
you have a suffix.
You actually are the one doing kibyachal in the context, so then he has to do it. Perhaps.
That's what I'm saying. It's a suffix.
Maybe.
You make the guy over. He's not going to go up. There's a suffix. There's a
suffix.
But if it's just a lav,
right?
Because
lav's not
going to
do it. So
right. So you're saying. Okay, wait one second. So you're saying if it's about it takes on the actual iser. So only if he violates the iser of say arayos, then the one gets it. But if it's just presenting a situation, it's just about lifting iver. We don't care what actually happens. Yeah, I hear that.
That's enough to mean also the guy giving bad advice. Because then if the guy takes the advice now, doesn't make enough. You're over the moment you give the bad advice.
Well, we'll see. That's the next. We'll get to Shogig and Maze in a second, but it could. You're, I think it's another chiluk. Very good. Could be another chiluk. Whether or not he listens for the bad advice, may not. You may not violate it unless he listens to the bad advice.
That's a question.
Or the opposite.
Yeah.
What's it called in law? Yeah.
Open question.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's look at the next piece here. Shogig and Maze. This is where we're going to see a chiluk between Bein Adam Lemakom versus Bein Adam Lechaver. So before we look inside, let's. What do you guys think? Everyone agrees if the guy let's say the individual who receives the bad advice or receives the wine, if he's b'shogeg, so certainly he has no idea what's going on here, and I give him the wine or I give him the bad advice, certainly you violate the avera. But let's say the recipient is well aware that you're giving him bad advice, or he's well aware that you're giving him yayin and he's a nazir. Would you think that there's an iser lifnei iver when he's aware, he's bemazed as to what you're giving him?
It's interesting because when it comes to mitzvahs, you get the schar for thinking of a mitzvah. When you get for an avera, if your intent is to do the avera, but you don't accomplish the avera, you don't get the avera.
Correct.
So I wonder if that application exactly what,
interesting.
What you're saying here is.
So you're saying presenting just the situation without him violating it might be similar to a machshava, and you would not get the avera, you're saying.
Right. You're actually doing something, but it doesn't come to fruition. In other words, like I made a decision in my head, I'm going to do an avera, but if you don't do that avera.
Right. So I think it's different because machshava is a thought. Here, you gave the advice or you gave him something. There's more than.
But even if I, it's bechira, like I have the choice. So my choice is I want to go do the avera, but somehow I don't end up doing the Avera, the person is not punished for the Avera.
Right, because Lifnei Iver might be defined as when he actually violates it. But I'm not sure if it's comparable to your case of Machshava, because in the case of Lifnei Iver, something came out of my mouth, something came out of my hand, it already got beyond the Machshava point.
Let's say you do preparations to do an Avera, I make the choice in my mind.
So that
preparations to do the Avera, but the Avera doesn't.
So that would definitely be fine, because there you never. Preparation is not a violation until you present the guy. Presenting is already another stage.
But that's preparation. Let's see.
But the Torah says that that's already the violation. That's exactly.
Why I was.
What's the question again?
The question is, so let's say the guy's aware who I'm giving to bad advice, I'm giving the Nazir Yayin. He's amazing. He knows what I'm doing. He knows he's a Nazir, I'm giving him wine. He knows I'm a terrible lawyer, I'm going to give you terrible advice. He knows, and I give him bad advice. Is that a violation?
According to Rashi, he's not a sumaladava then.
Ah, very good.
So Rashi would say no, because he...
I think so. Look what the Achiezer says. He says we see here that there's going to be a chilek now, because bad advice, he's not a sumo bedavar. But let's say there's a nazir, but he's a blind in that particular area. He's not blind because if I tell the guy I'm a terrible lawyer, don't listen to what I say. Here's my bad advice. He's not a sumo bedavar. So if he's aware, he's bemazed. There's no violation of bad advice. But let's say he's a nazir. He knows he's a nazir. I say, listen, you're not allowed to eat this or drink this. I'm giving it to you anyways. Is that going to be an isser?
If you compare it to like Lashon Hara, so then the person who speaks the Lashon Hara, even though the person hears it, so now he has a choice to accept it or not. But the person who spoke the Lashon Hara, he's still going to be over. You know what I'm saying?
The person who spoke it, Lashon Hara.
Yeah, but it doesn't make a difference if the other person has the choice.
But it's very possible when it comes to Lifnei Iver, it's about the Totsah, what results from it, which is another discussion of Andy's point. Does the guy have to actually violate it or not? So that's the Achiezer. I think that's an interesting connection to the Lashon Hara. I do think so. But look what the Achiezer writes, Rav Chaim Ozer writes in number 14. The Yeh Shlomar did Belifnei Iver Yeh Shtei Dinim. There are two dinim. There's two categories we spoke of. There's the Eitzah, the bad advice, which is Bein Adam L'Chavero, and then there's the Isser, which is Bein Adam L'Makom. So he writes, Dinei Masa Eitzah She'ena Hogenes, giving bad advice. The Shayach Gam B'Mila D'Alma, it's not Shayach to only the world of Torah, it applies to business and any other area of life. Lo Shayach, it's only relevant, applicable, Elaheichad She'en Ha'Iver Yodea, if he's blind, he doesn't know what's going on. He's suma bedavar, like Elliot said. But she'ein kein b'mezid, if he was aware, she'ein mate also. I know the guy's not tricking me. I know he's a terrible lawyer. So if it's been b'mezid, there's no violation of giving bad advice.
Let me finish one second.
Uma shematzinu b'isurim, when it comes to a davar iser, giving wine to a nazir, ben abdul makom, then din lefnei iver af b'mezid. Shal yodei shu aser. Even when the nazir knows his aser, if I present him with this opportunity to violate the iser, it's going to be aser. So says the Achiezer, Chuvas Achiezer, that there's a difference between these two categories, ben adam l'makom and ben adam l'chaveira. Ben adam l'makom, even if the nazir is aware what I'm doing to him, giving him the iser, I still get the iser for giving the wine. Bad advice. If he knows I'm giving him bad advice, then I do not violate the iser of getting bad advice. So this is a nafkamina, this is a chilip between the two different categories. So I'm not sure what exactly the example is of him being aware, whether I'm telling him I'm a bad lawyer, whether I'm telling him, or some other guy told him, don't trust that guy, he's a terrible lawyer. Somehow he knows I'm giving him bad advice, and I give it to him anyways, he's not going to listen to me.
Well, I thought it was kind of like with the Nazir example, if the Nazir knows the laws of Naziris. Or in the case of a lawyer, if you're giving advice to a co-worker or a lawyer who knows the sugya, you know, when you say you're giving him bad advice, that you know he's a bad lawyer, I'm not talking about him, but you know that he's a bad lawyer, or you're very familiar with the law anyway.
Right. And Either way. Let's go to number 15 now. Number 15, what about Lifnei Iver when it comes to a nachri, a non-Jew? So the Gemara Avodah Zarah, I gave the example before of giving, extending the wine, cup of wine to another, but that same brisa also included, Eiver Menachai Livnei Benoach. Eiver Menachai of Benoach can eat Eiver Menachai. So giving him Eiver Menachai, that's also a violation of Lifnei Iver. So the example the Gemara says is you can't present him with an iser. You can't tell a guy, you give a chance to, here's a gun, shoot that guy. He can't murder someone. So anything of the Sheva Mitzvahs of B'nai Noach, there'd be a violation of Lifnei Iver. But what about giving a Nachri bad advice? What would you say about that? Is there a violation to give a Nachri bad advice? Well, if you say that the bad advice and giving an iser is really one and the same, it's all one category, then of course the same iser applies. But if you assume that Bein Adam L'Makom is one area, and Bein Adam L'Chaver is a whole other category, not necessarily true. Maybe only the Davar Isser, the giving the Eiver Merchai, would be a violation of Lifnei Eiver, but giving bad advice may not apply to a Nachr. So the Minchas Chinuch assumes a number 16 as a Davar Pasha. Da Kro Koi Gam Al Ben Noach. The Pasha clearly applies to Ben Noach as well, as the Gemara uses. Im Kain, if that's the case, Af Eitza b'mili de'alma gam kein aser afilu b'nei noach. You can't give a nachri bad advice, guys. It's an iser deraisa. Now, even if it wasn't iser deraisa, I would still say not to. There are a number of things that are mutter to goyim, and you still shouldn't do. Whether we get in the conversation of you can't steal or can steal, let's assume for a second, just we assume you can't steal. But let's say, mideraisa, you are allowed to steal from a nachri. Of course, no one should steal from a nachri. Just because you could perhaps show bad midos to a nachri, you may be allowed to, you shouldn't. The Mishnah in Gittin says, because of Shalom Malchus and because of Eva, Darche Shalom, you're supposed to greet the non-Jew, say hello, good morning, good evening. You're supposed to be friendly to the non-Jew, to the custodian. I heard Rav Asher Weiss once speak about this topic very briefly. He says many times when he gives a shir, oftentimes he gives like a little idea of being nice to non-Jews, he gets like these crazy like responses. And particularly when it comes to Hasidim, they're like, what? You're being nice to a non-Jew? Chas v'shalom, you have to be nice to every single human being in this world unless they are Mamash or Russia. That's a whole other story. So yes, you should not give bad advice to a non-Jew ever. The question we're just dealing with is, it an Issa Deraisa included in Lifnei Iver or not? So Minchas Chinuch assumes again that Rav Pashut, once it's aser to give Eiver Menachai to a non-Jew, it's a Lifnei Iver of Bein Adam L'Makom, so Memeila it's also aser of Lifnei Iver on the Bein Adam L'Chavera. But says Rav Chanan Wasserman, number 17 in Kovet Shirim and Psachim, he writes differently. There is a difference. He says, Sarech Lomar, Dile Inin Lahachil Daver Ha'aser, to give an item that's aser, shekpeidas haTorah ha'isa shelo yase isai deYisrael. The Torah was concerned that a Jew shouldn't give a non-Jew an iser that they can't eat. Hachanami b'moshit Eiver Menachai, to hand over an Eiver Menachai to a Nachri, it's nase iser idea moshit. You violated Lifnei Iver by doing so. Aval b'miyayitz eitz shen ena hogenis, to give him bad advice, have a kimo kol ha'isurim shebein adam l'chaveru she'ein anogin b'nachri. We saw this last week. Says the Rav Chanan Wasserman that one of the differences between bein adam l'makom and bein adam l'chaveru is the bein adam l'makom that non-Jews have. We have to they're bechlal that iser bein adam l'makom, but bein adam l'chaveru we don't have to keep to them. We don't have to treat them nicely. Mirka, then you don't have to. I'm not saying one should do this. I just told you we should treat them nicely. But at least in the Torah, according to the Rav Chanan Wasserman, there are no Bein Adam L'Chavero, Bein Yisrael L'Nachri, in which case that you can give them bad advice according to Rav Chanan. Okay, let's now move to number 19. Another chiluk we're going to see, perhaps between Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chavero.
So technically you wouldn't be responsible for causing, giving him bad advice,
exactly.
And he did damage.
Exactly. According to Rav Chanan, at least.
And where does Kavod HaBrios come into
that? Yeah, see, he's not talking about, Rav Chanan in his Svarim talk in Lamdas. He doesn't talk in Halach L'maisa. I don't know much about Rav Chanan. I would find it hard to imagine he would say that you should actually go ahead and do this.
He's just saying the Halach.
Exactly, and then the Lamdas of it, that's all. That's his Svarim are all in Lamdas.
And he ends up in Halach.
Yeah, right. Okay, number 19. The Gemara of Odeh Zarah tells us that there's a concept of lifnai or lifnei de lifnei, causing a double lifnei iver, which causing one Jew to sell to another Jew something usr. Is that going to be usr or not? The double lifnei iver. So the Gemara is talking about a case of a nachri causing one nachri, you're selling a whole package of, I forget exactly what the Gemara is talking about, package of Lavona, which they'd use for Avodah Zarah. Now, you sell a huge amount of Lavona, so no one is going to bring that as Avodah Zarah. It's too much. You sell a warehouse of Lavona, no one's doing that. So to that guy who's buying it, is using it to sell. He's the wholesaler now. I produce a Lavona, I'm the farmer, let's say. He's the wholesaler, and he's going to sell retail now. Fine, that's how it works. So selling to him in this factory, he's not violating an Isser. But now he's going to sell to another Nachri, who's then going to go ahead and use it for Avodah Zarah. It's Lifnei de Lifnei. So the Gemara says, Lifnei de Lifnei lo mifakdina. We're not chayav to keep Lifnei de Lifnei. It's looking way too far in advance. So it's completely mutter. So the Rashi number 4 says,
be a possibility of him using it or not using it. If he definitely has to use it, then that's the only purpose, then you know what you're doing.
Correct.
If he has an option of what to do with it, that's a different
so
story.
Right. So the Rashi says, this Lifnei de Lifnei, that we're not chayav to keep Lifnei de Lifnei, that's only when it comes to an Akam, a non-Jew. When it comes to a Yid, so then we are choshesh Lifnei de Lifnei. So for me to sell a shatnis to a shatnis suits, let's say, to a non-Jewish, rather to a Jewish suit store. Now, they're not wearing the suits. They sell it. So sell to them. That's fine. They haven't violated an Isser. But now they're going to sell to only Jews in the 5 towns. So that's Lifnei de Lifnei. And that, the rush is, we do have to keep. So what's the difference? How come Lifnei de Lifnei doesn't apply to the non-Jews, but Lifnei de Lifnei does apply to the Jews? So the Evin Ezel, anyone know who wrote the Evin Ezel? If it's Zalman, right, that's Ezel, the end, Aleph, Zalman, Zion, Lamed, Ezel, that's Isser Zalman, Isser Zalman Meltzer wrote the Evin Ezel on the Rambam. It's unclear exactly what he means, but the way I think what he's trying to get at is that the same idea we saw in Rav Chan Wasserman, that when it comes to violating the Bein Adam Malkum, the Isser, so we only look at the direct Lifnei right in front of us. When I'm Biadaim, I hand him the Nazir Yayin, I give the Jew a suit to sell, that's one step removed, that's going to be a violation of the Isser. But to go 2 steps removed, when it comes to Isser, I didn't do anything right now. He did the Isser, not me. But when it comes to bad advice is a little bit more expansive. If I'm giving this suit store bad advice, now to go ahead and sell to another guy, bad advice will be, I think, more encompassing. In which case, since when it comes to the Yidden, Rav Chanan says bad advice doesn't apply to the non-Jews, but it does apply to the Jews. So the Bein Adam LeChavero. I mean, I'm not concerned about myself, Lifnei Iver of a Jew. I'm concerned with that guy. Not only am I concerned with that guy, but I'm concerned with the guy who he's going to go ahead and sell it to as well. So yes, the suit store that I sell my shatnez suits to, they're not going to violate. They're not going to wear it. But I'm concerned with his customers. Because I'm concerned with the overall Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And therefore, I would get the Isser of Lifnei de Lifnei when it comes to the Yidden. But when it comes to the Nachri, as we saw before in Rav Chanan, that we're not concerned Bein Adam L'Chaveiro with the non-Jew, so I'm only concerned with I'm getting an Isser selling to him. Whether he gets an Isser afterwards, that much I don't really care about. And that's the Chilek, I think, within the Rush. Now, again, I want to emphasize, I know Dr. Goldman just walked in here, and just for you to hear this as well, I know this is something you very much care about. We're not saying by any means that one should violate anything Bein Adam L'Chaveiro to the Nachri. Yes, in Lamdis, there's reasons to think that's permitted to, but never, ever would anyone say, anyone with a Seichel, would say that we should give bad advice or treat a non-Jew in such a fashion. But in Lamdis, that would seem to be the chilek of Lifnei de Lifnei of Israel, that we were concerned with Beit Adam L'Chaveiro, what's going to be with that guy who sells to that guy who sells to that guy, as opposed with the Nachri, we're not concerned with any steps removed from us.
Rabbi, excuse me, there's another reason anyway. Is the problem if you gave a goy bad advice, the problem is not necessarily...
So then I want to finish this piece.
How could you do these
things? So this is one last piece. Number 22, the Gemara Kedushin talks about, we're talking about at night, say, Hilchot Kibud Avayim. Hilchot Kibud Avayim, the Gemara talks about, at Heichan Kibud Avayim, how far, how much does a person have to go out, to what extent to do Kibud Avayim? And so the Gemara talks about if he takes your wallet and throws it into the water, you shouldn't get angry at all. So the Gemara has a maaser that one time that Rav Huna tore the shirt of his son Rabba, and he wanted to test whether or not he's going to get angry or not, test out his kas. So the Gemara said, how could you do that? Maybe he's going to get angry, and that's Lifnei Iver, because if he's going to get angry at you, he's going to be violating Kibud Avayim. So how could you test him out by tearing his shirt? It's Lifnei Iver. And the Gemara says, no, not to worry, I was mochel my kavod. Father's mochel. So the father said, I'm mochel my kavod to myself. He doesn't know this. And then go ahead and tear his shirt. So if he gets angry at me, he hasn't violated the Isser because me as a father, I'm mochel b'davar. That's what the Gemara says. It's a strange thing. So look what the number 23, the Tosfos writes. Tosa says that Tzarech Lomar Shehodil Kodem, he must have told his son Amochel Bedavar, which kind of undermines the whole test. But he told him, because why? Because if he didn't tell him, says Tosfos, then it's like a case of Niskavein Lecho Baser Chazu. Let's say a guy wants to eat pig. And thankfully, instead he got kosher meat. But he didn't know there was kosher meat till afterwards. So what's halacha? The Gemara says you still need kapara. I thought I did an isser. I thought I ate pig. But it wasn't pig. So if this father kept the mechila to himself, and the son didn't know this, so the son hit his father back for tearing his shirt, so now in his mind, the son thought he did something wrong. But the father is mochel b'davar. So it really wasn't an isser. But the Gemara says, if the son had intention of doing an isser, of eating pig, even though it wasn't, he requires kapara. So too, the son who hits his father, he needs a kapara because he didn't know his father is mochel. So the Tosafot says it has to be a case where the father told him that, by the way, I'm about to do something, I'm mochel my kavod. Whatever I do, I'm mochel my kavod. That's what Tosafot says has to be the case. So there's a Sefer Chasim, which is really interesting. I don't have time to read this right now, but I'll finish off with the Ritva. Ritva number 25, and be very careful how we read this very carefully, the last two lines of the Ritva. V'efshir. Dibelav dilifnei iver lo site michshol. Kevin shulav kolel, since it's a lav kolel, includes everything, there's no malkos. Lo machmirin kolehai, we're not so machmir on this particular example of the father tearing the shirt and not telling him he was mochel. And number two is Sharina Bahachi, kidei lenasoso uladricho bederach yishara irasik, since he had good intentions. What's going on here? So I'll say this outside, you guys look inside to make it carefully on your own, to read it carefully. But he's saying there are two dinim when it comes to lifnei iver. There's the one iser of the iser bein adam l'makom, and there's a second element of the mitzvah bein adam l'chaveru. So in terms of the bein adam l'makom, causing the son to violate kibra ve'im, so he says that really that iser is not so bad because since it's a lav kolel, and a lav kolel doesn't have malkos, it's a low-level iser, the father's allowed to test him in the world of lifnei iver, kibra ve'im, that's fine. And with respect to the violation of giving bad advice of the Bein Adam L'Chavero, that too's fine because since his goal was to get him on the right path, it was B'derech Yashar, that's not considered bad advice. So Bein Adam L'Chavero and Bein Adam Makom, both in the Ritva says the father has not violated anything in both these counts. So we see from the Ritva, they're really two dinim. They're both, every time you violate Lifnei Iver, there's a violation of Bein Adam L'Makom, the Isser, and also the Bein Adam L'Chavero giving him bad advice. Okay, we'll stop here. I'm not sure what we'll do next week, but we'll continue certainly on the sugyas of Bein Adam L'Chavero.
I want to explain my question.